Sydneysiders are wiping their brows after sweltering through the city's hottest day in nearly 80 years. On Sunday, Penrith in Sydney's west reached a top of 47.3 degrees just after 3 o'clock. But they weren't the only ones sweltering. It was pretty hot elsewhere as well. The heat wave isn't easing off just yet either. The Bureau of Meteorology is expecting more days in the 30s. To better understand how heat waves are evolving in Australia, we thought we'd talk to Sarah Kirkpatrick, a senior research fellow in heat waves at the University of New South Wales. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Are days of really extreme heat like we saw yesterday actually becoming more frequent?
Absolutely. So we can comfortably go back to at least 1950 and in some places in Australia, well into the 1800s to look at how heat waves are changing or extreme hot days. And there's been quite a detectable trend, particularly in heat waves, in their frequency, intensity and duration. And of these three, the frequency of heat waves is the strongest trend. So we're definitely seeing more heat waves, and they're also getting hotter as well. So the kind of weather that we're experiencing now, unfortunately to someone like myself, is no real surprise, as awful as it is. This is exactly what we've been seeing in the observational record.
What classifies something as a heat wave?
Yep, so with the heat wave, this is actually a really interesting question. There's a lot of definitions out there, but in their most general form, it's at least 3 days in a row. Sometimes it's 2 days, but we use 3 days in Australia, where temperatures are excessively hot. So we usually think of an excessively hot day as in the top 10% of days for that year. So you can have a heat wave in winter too, but it obviously won't be as warm as a heat wave in summer. You can also have heat waves in Alice Springs and also in Hobart too, but those heat waves are relative to those sorts of locations. So it has to be hot for that time of year relative to that location for at least 3 days in a row.
Understood. So what do temperatures like the ones we're experiencing at the moment tell us about how hot future summers might be?
Well, this is a scary thing because, you know, we saw an extremely hot day out in Penrith, 47.3. And yes, last year they hit 47.1. So in 2 years, they've had two records for that particular site. And this is exactly what we're expecting to see, all these records being smashed. This will only continue. So as much as I hate to say it, and I really don't like talking about this in a lot of detail because it can be quite scary, this will sort of become the new normal. In summers in 20, 30, 40 years' time, we will expect to see more and more of those days. We may not have a 47.3 day every year, but we'll expect to see them, you know, every couple of summers or, you know, 2 or 3 years in a row.
So looking to the more immediate future then, how likely are we to experience more extreme heat this year? I mean, can you read anything or glean anything from the fact that we're experiencing these heat waves?
Well, that comes down to a more seasonal projection or a more seasonal forecast. So the interesting thing about this season is we're not actually in an El Nino summer. So I think a lot of people are quite familiar with we expect more hot weather during El Nino because we get a lot less rainfall. We're actually in a bit of a weaker La Nina at the moment. So we tend to expect to see slightly less warm conditions and maybe slightly more rainfall. So that's what's really caught us, not by surprise, but what's really concerning about this heat wave is the fact it's actually happened when we shouldn't have really expected it to happen due to the normal climate signal.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, going along that notion, we aren't really expecting more heat waves this summer, but they're certainly in the forecast for the next week or two over much of Australia.
I know you're saying you don't want to sort of paint too scary a picture of what the future might hold, but can you describe or articulate for us how heat waves are actually changing in Australia?
Yeah, sure. So I was talking about the observational record earlier where we've already detected these increases. Those trends are only going to continue. And unfortunately, they scale with our emissions of greenhouse gases. So as we pollute or put more and more greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, we see more and more heat waves. So if we continue down our current track, which is, you know, basically going on our current rate of emissions, we will see much more intense heat waves occurring much more frequently as opposed to a track where we actually mitigate our greenhouse gas emissions. So that trend is relative to the path we choose to take with our emissions.
One of the interesting things yesterday was that there was a warning issued about high concentration of ozone near ground level affecting air quality and potentially being harmful. What does that description mean?
Yeah, so ozone is actually one of the pollutants that come out of cars. And when we see really hot weather, the air is actually really still, so that those pollutants can't actually move around. And ozone is actually really nice for us to breathe in. It can actually be quite harmful. And also with the geography of the Sydney Basin, it is a basin, so we're confined by the mountainous Blue Mountains towards the west. And so that basically those pollutants just sit there and they get cooked by the hot air that's coming in from the west and also from the sunlight that's coming in. So usually when we get a southerly change, that will clear out the smog and the pollution. But unfortunately also, that's only going to get worse in the future. Sydney's population is expected to explode over the next few decades, which will of course mean more cars on the road. So we can kind of expect more conditions like that, where people with asthma and other respiratory illnesses will be told to stay indoors pretty much all the time during hot weather.
So given that context, where does the greater danger lie for us humans with heat waves? Is it the heat itself, or is it these, sideline environmental impacts?
Look, that's a really good question. I don't think that's one that we can categorically answer, you know, off the bat right now. So at the moment, heat waves really only affect, to a really bad extent, those who are working outdoors, the elderly, or the quite, you know, the quite young. But as climate change intensifies, that will likely affect a higher population. People won't be able to keep their houses cool because it's just too difficult or too expensive. And then you also, you know, you need to compare that, as you say, with the environmental impacts of heat waves as well. So I don't know if there'll be one group of people or one impact that'll be worse than another, but the fact that they're both occurring together and they're both getting worse, that's what we need to be concerned about.
And do you see any cause for optimism when you look at the trends, or is it all bad news?
Well, as I said earlier, the how bad heat waves will change is scaled against how we choose to take our path with reducing our emissions. So as long as we head down, they will increase regardless, I hate to say that, but as long as we choose a path where we do reduce our emissions and do that as soon as possible, we will see less intense changes in heat waves, but they will increase, unfortunately, at least for the next 50 to 100 years.
Right.
So we can basically expect more summers like this summer and last summer to continue.
Sarah Kirkpatrick, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much, Hamish.
Sarah Kirkpatrick is from the University of New South Wales. She's a senior research fellow in heat waves.